We're going to take a short break for one of our sponsors. I haven't tried this one, but it looks well worth checking out if weight loss has been an ongoing challenge for you. Robody pairs medication options with diet and exercise modifications to achieve your desired goal. Before being prescribed any medication, patients complete an online medical visit, lab test, and more to see if you're right for their program. You can sign up online, which means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Their data shows that average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/untangle. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 a month for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/untangle. Now, back to our show. We're taking a short break to tell you a little bit about the 10% Happier podcast hosted by my friend Dan Harris. It has one guiding philosophy. Happiness is a skill you can learn, so why not master it? I recently talked to him on our show about what has changed since he wrote 10% Happier 10 years ago. A lot. Dan was once a fidgety, skeptical journalist, but after suffering a panic attack on national television, he decided to change his life. This journey led him to learn everything he could about the human psyche. Now he's on a quest to help others achieve peace and happiness. Each week, he talks to top scientists, meditation teachers, and even the odd celebrity, exploring topics like productivity, anxiety, enlightenment, psychedelics, and relationships. He's funny. He's smart. He's one of the best interviewers I know. Think of listening to 10% Happier as a workout for your mind. The 10% Happier podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Untangle, the meditation podcast from Gaiam. I'm your host, Patricia Karpus. Today's episode is hosted by our special guest, Emily Fletcher. Emily's the founder of Ziva Meditation and an instructor on Gaiam's Meditation Studio app. Emily sits down with one of her students, Amy Kurtz. Amy was riddled with all kinds of physical pain from a very early age. It took her years to discover what was causing her pain and to find relief. Amy's here to tell us how meditation became a central part of her story.
I'd love for you to just catch us up a little bit. Like, who is Amy? Where are you from? Like, how did you even get to the point where you wanted to learn meditation? Can you give us your life in a nutshell?
My life in a nutshell is I grew up in Philadelphia. I have two older sisters. I had a really happy childhood. I went to Syracuse University for acting. I've always wanted to be a performer since I was probably walking and talking. And I started to have back pain as a child, and that's sort of what led to what became a health crisis later in my life.
How old were you when the back pain started?
I was 14. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't really figure out what was happening. My dad's a doctor, and we went to everybody, and nobody could figure out what was causing it. And it was in the 90s when nobody thought anything would be food related. Mm-hmm. So we just sort of masked it with medication because that's all we knew how to do. And so that was something that sort of became part of my identity as a child, especially. But the medication helped at the time, and I went to Syracuse for acting, and I graduated. I started auditioning and doing the whole thing. And then I went to Israel in 2010, and a perfect storm of health issues sort of cropped up. So
what happened?
So I went to Israel, and my body just started giving out on itself. I gained 30 pounds in 30 days. My hair started falling out in clumps. I was aching on all of my limbs. I couldn't keep any food down, and I just felt like I was dying or something really insane was happening. It was literally like a perfect storm of health issues that happened. And
this is all while you're in Israel?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I came home. I tried to get back to my usual routine, and it just kept getting worse, and my symptoms kept getting more severe. So I called my parents. I'm like, you need to come get me. I'm so sick. I need to come home. And we went through the whole circuit again of going from doctor to doctor to doctor and couldn't really find any answers. And I started looking into a more alternative way of healing because what I had known wasn't working anymore.
And had you been on medication since you were 14?
For my back pain. And it was a really long journey with my health. It was about 5 years, I would say, until I totally got a handle on what was going on. It ended up being celiac disease that was causing the back pain. And the day I went off gluten, it was like all pain had disappeared.
Wow.
So that was one thing. My thyroid was also being affected, so that was another thing that helped. And when I was in Israel, I picked up a parasite infection, and that sort of tipped everything over. So I was really in this state of fight or flight for a good 4 years, I think, until I started meditating. It was just my body was go, 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 and my mind couldn't stop racing about how to get better and how to heal and how to do it instead of how to slow down and tap into myself and really connect with myself, because I'd felt like from such a young age, I was very disconnected from my body.
Because of the pain or because of
pain.
Just growing up in the West?
I just felt that my body and soul were sort of disconnected. That's how it always felt to me. Like I was always fighting my body or my body was fighting me because of the pain. Now I know that it was giving me a signal to tell me something was wrong.
I think this is such an important point that oftentimes if we're in pain, we suddenly go into a very Western idea of let me fight this sickness, let me fight this pain, and you create more of a disconnect from your body.
Exactly.
Whereas actually, I believe that every pain, every illness is your body communicating something to you. And if you can listen, then it will tell you what it needs to say, and then it will quiet down.
Exactly.
So what was going on in your head? What was your mental state when you were in the thick of it? Like, I know you said you felt like you were fighting it, but what was the story playing in your mind?
I always felt like I needed to get better as fast as possible because I had this life to live. Like, I always thought that I just needed to push through. I would do every treatment that could possibly come my way, and I was do, because I had a life to live. So instead of me stopping and trying to check in with myself, I was almost riding a big wave towards what I thought would be the finish line.
Yeah.
But now in retrospect, I realized I was just in this constant race with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also, to be honest, in a state where I was angry at my body for not working for me.
Yeah, like, why me?
Exactly. So I went into a total victim state of how could this happen to me, and this isn't supposed to be this way.
And so how did you go from this space into being now a health and wellness coach and expert and writing a book called Kicking Sick? What was that journey like?
I became a health and wellness coach as my health crisis was starting.
Mm.
And I really wanted to help people heal. And I think I really wanted to help heal myself.
Sure.
And I didn't know at the time.
You didn't know what?
I wasn't connected to the fact that my body was sending me signals that it needed help. And in this constant race of doing, when I finally slowed down and put the brakes on everything and I realized that what I need is actually inside of me is when everything started to shift. And it was such a profound shift for me that I realized this is what I'm supposed to be doing, is coaching people how to heal their lives and heal their physical pain and bodies and create a lifestyle that is better for them. My lifestyle until I started to meditate was just running and racing and trying to...
Like actually physically running or racing against a perceived finish line?
Pretty much both.
Isn't that funny? How our physical exercise is often indicative of what's happening internally. So talk to me, what was it that gave you that insight into realizing that you already have the tools you need to heal yourself inside?
I've always been a seeker of connecting to myself, and I've always been fascinated by yoga and various kinds of meditation. And I think when I got sick, I really became very disconnected from that need to want to connect to that type of lifestyle. It's always been very appealing to me, but it's not really what I knew. To be honest, it wasn't even something that I thought about because I was so worried about helping myself get out of this crisis that somehow I ditched mindfulness at the door. Mm-hmm. Like it didn't exist. And I had no clue that it was actually the key to everything.
Right. And so what was that moment like? Was it something that you read? Was it taking the meditation class? Was it a voice inside of you? Like, can you talk to us about that pivotal moment?
I went to a restorative yoga class and the teacher, she put me in this one position and I fell asleep, deeply asleep for an hour.
Wow.
I didn't even know this person. I literally was put on a cushion and I just felt faster asleep than I've ever slept before. And I felt the profound effect of rest that I don't think my body had been in from age 14 to 27.
Wow.
Yeah. So then I started looking up meditation. I really was fighting the urge to have a steady practice. And when I made the decision to do it, that I literally was like ready to go. I had my comfy clothes on. I sat on the cushion in your class and I was ready to meditate. And then the second we started, I wanted to crawl out of my skin. I wanted to literally like climb out of the room somehow. I wanted to like jump out of the class or crawl against the floor out the door. I was so uncomfortable just sitting and being because I'd gotten so disconnected from my soul.
Yeah. What was the physical sensation happening at your very first meditation? What's going on in your body?
I felt so anxious. I really felt like I wanted to crawl out of my skin.
Uh-huh.
And my thoughts were racing so intensely. It felt like I was dumping all of these stressors that I'd had forever. It felt like they were coming up so quickly.
Yeah.
And it made me uncomfortable to really sit with that.
I think this is a really important point that not that many people are talking about because there's so much science and so many people singing meditation's praises, which, I mean, obviously I'm a believer because this is what I do. I teach meditation. But what people are not talking about is almost the price of admission. You know, this, how the body, for most people, goes through a little bit of a detoxing process, a little bit of an unstressing process. And so I really appreciate the fact that you're sharing what your experience is because I think it's going to help people feel like, well, if they sit down to meditate and if right off the bat it's not sunshine and roses and instead they have a few tears or a little bit of anxiety coming up and out, it will help to give them a frame of reference for that and know that actually it doesn't mean that you're broken. It doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. It's just part of the journey.
It really is a total detox experience. Mm-hmm. And I know that because I've had that in my physical body, but this was emotional in a way that made me very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really hard for me to sit there for 20 minutes and just focus on my mantra and my breathing. And I wanted to be anywhere but there.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a lot of dedication and practice. And then all of a sudden, everything stopped racing. And I experienced this rest that I don't think my body had felt since I was a child. And I felt like I finally connected to my inner compass, which in the end, tapping into that every single day, twice a day, is what keeps me healing myself and helps me help other people heal because I didn't really know that that was there before.
A word from our sponsor, Happy Mammoth. This is the company that created the amazing supplement, Hormone Harmony, and they are dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients like herbal extracts called adaptogens that help the body adapt to any stressors, especially those chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. They're offering our listeners 15% off the first order at happymammoth.com using the promo code UNTANGLE. So if you're tired of hot flashes, night sweats, low moods, poor sleep, you get the drill. The things that put your life on hold, you will want to check them out. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com with the code UNTANGLE at checkout. That's happymammoth.com with the code UNTANGLE. Now, on to Untangle.
And your body's moving through the initial phases of the detoxing or the unstressing. What started to shift? What did it look like for you? What were some of the benefits that you saw?
I felt that it really helped me know myself better And it made me realize what my triggers were, what made me feel good, what made me didn't feel good. It made me appreciate myself and my body in a way that I'd never had since as far as I can remember, because I'd been so disconnected from it for so long. I started sleeping better. I had much more focus. I felt like I let go of so much stress that I now feel like I was carrying on my back.
How is your back now?
It's fine. I don't have any pain.
Wow. And did that stop right away from the gluten?
Mm-hmm.
It did.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was so, it happened so fast. I feel a lot more balance in my life, but it also, the biggest thing that meditation's done for me is it allowed me to be comfortable in my home again, which is my body.
Yeah. You know what's interesting to me is the more articles I read of, you know, hyper successful people, most of them are meditating in this day and age, but even the ones who aren't, the through line that I always see with, you know, the big mega game changers is that they all start their day for themselves. None of them say, well, I wake up and start my emails right away. I wake up and start answering my text messages right away. They always fill up their own tank of gas before they launch into dealing with everyone else's demands. So I love that you've really made that a non-negotiable priority.
Yeah, and I think it's exactly what you said. It's like filling up your tank of gas, but it's also your love tank. Like, it makes you so appreciative of the people around you and so appreciative of yourself. And if you take the time to respect and nurture yourself, it only gives back tenfold with everybody and everything around you.
And what about your spiritual practice? Are there other things that you do in your day? I know you said a bit of gratitude, a bit of asking for guidance. Is there a spiritual practice that you have in your waking state?
I think I just have tune-in time where I now have meditated for a while. So I start to feel myself getting racy or anxious. Anxiety is a place I go to easily, and I'm really working on not going there so quickly. And when I feel myself starting to get that way, I really try to stop, remove myself from the situation, take a couple deep breaths, and center myself by saying what I need and just sort of calming myself down. So I would take a couple deep breaths and just ask that I stay present in the moment. Mm-hmm. That's what meditation has really helped me do. I lived totally in the worry of the future when I was sick, and it's really enabled me to stay present and connected to what's going on now. So when I have moments that sort of want to launch me forward, I connect back to the present.
Right. This is, to me, one of the biggest gifts of meditation, because in all styles, but especially in the practice that we do, is that you're taking your right brain to the gym. And the right brain, you know, as you know, is the piece of us that's in charge of the right now. And for most of us, I think our left brain is so overdeveloped, you know, and the left brain is in charge of the past and the future, mm-hmm. which is where our stress hangs out. So if we're constantly reviewing the past, rehearsing the future, racing against some perceived finish line, then we're robbing ourselves of experiencing our bliss, which is always found in the right now.
Yes.
So I love that this practice has now given you an opportunity and even the tools with which to do that tune-in time, to stop and say, how am I feeling right now? Because I feel like if your right brain isn't strong enough and if you don't know what that even looks like, it's hard to tap into when you're in the middle of a busy day.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I know that you work with others, you're a health coach. What do you say to someone who thinks that they don't have time to meditate?
Do you have time to feel like crap? Do you have time to watch the news in the morning and lounge on your couch or eat something that's bad for you? If you have time for all of these things, not something that's bad for you, but if you have time to do all of these things, you definitely have time to meditate in the morning. And if you feel that you don't have time, set your alarm 20 minutes earlier to give yourself the time, because it really does set your whole day up for success. Mm-hmm. If you don't start from a place of peace, you won't have a peaceful day. If you start your day from a crappy, rushed place, your day's going to be crappy and rushed.
Mm-hmm. And so I love that you not only have taken the responsibility for your own wellness on yourself, but now you're giving other people the tools to do the same.
Yeah, in my coaching practice and in my book is a story about my journey with illness, and it's a go-to guide for people to thrive while experiencing this instead of let it totally take over who they were. And in the beginning of this interview, you asked me who I was before, but so much of my life was defined by the pain that I felt that it sort of defined me. Mm-hmm. And I really try in my book to give people practical tips. I basically did everything wrong so that people have a guidebook so that they can do it right. And that's basically what the book is about. But with my coaching practice, I really try to get my clients to get out of this state where your body is sort of failing you, mm-hmm. and the anger and all of those emotions you have to process. It's grieving them and really letting yourself feel those things. And they're intense, and you have to let yourself go there so that you can make a plan to tap into yourself and start to love yourself again.
Beautiful. So this is a theme that's been coming up in some of these interviews, is that, you know, what we resist persists. And the harder you push against that pain, the harder you push against the sickness, it's like you're just feeding it. Because the harder you push against it, the harder it's going to push back. Mm-hmm. Versus the very challenging and sometimes tricky journey of accepting what is and feeling what you're feeling. There is no way around but through. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when the through requires feeling pain and accepting where your body is in this moment, a lot of us will look for any alternative to that. So what advice do you give to people who say, it's too much. It's too much pain. It's too much sickness. I don't want to accept it. I am not a sick person. I want to fight this. What do you say to them?
You are not your sickness. And I think that a lot of people say or feel that they are their illness and that that's who they are. But the truth of the matter is that's not who you are. That's what your physical body is going through. And your soul is who you are. And when people start to feel challenged with their health or have a health crisis or a chronic issue or an invisible disease that they can't figure out, you sort of get disconnected from the soul part of you. Mm-hmm. But if you can make your routine based around connecting to that, then you will start to accept the idea that you need to really strengthen that muscle so that you can care for your physical body. Mm. Does that make sense?
It does. So it's an inside out proposition for you versus outside in.
1,000%. Mm-hmm. And that's really the greatest lesson I learned through meditation. I was never connected to that part of myself. Mm-hmm. And it's the only way to heal.
What's been the most inspiring transformation that you've seen in any of your friends or clients through meditation or through wellness coaching?
I had a client who came to me who didn't really even realize that anything was wrong. She was just living in this kind of okay, feeling tired, feeling sluggish place that she thought was normal and had all of this stomach pain. And she had just accepted it to be the way that her life was. When I was coaching with her and I got her to, A, accept that those things don't define her. Mine was such a dramatic story, but hers was really subtle and beautiful. And the way that she started to take care of herself, she would come in every week with just brighter and brighter and brighter and feeling so much better. And for the first 2 months we were working together, she would just say, oh, I feel okay. You know, I'm okay. And now she says, I feel great. And it's because she really understood the idea that she has to love and nurture herself. And that starts from the inside.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I think we all get a little obsessed with the makeover story, the before and after. And it makes for good books. It makes for good TV. If you have a dramatic before and then a dramatic after. But sometimes the most profound things are the subtle, subtle moments where you're just playing with your dog after work and so present and enjoying it, or seeing the way the light is flickering off your partner's eyes, mm-hmm. and actually giving yourself the gift of fully enjoying it and not feeling guilty about what you're not doing. And to me, these are the stories that are harder to tell. These are the moments that make life so rich and really worth living.
Yes, it's so true. Mm. And I think I really learned from meditating that you can only give what you have. And if you don't fill up your gas tank or your love tank or whatever you want to call it, you can't give that away to other people. Mm-hmm. And through experiencing illness, it's been interesting because I realized that I have to fill up my tank in order to have a productive, good day and take care of myself. Mm-hmm. And because I've now made that such a practice, I'm able to really take care of the people around me in a way that I wasn't doing before, or I wasn't able to.
Good for you. I think that this is a really important concept to highlight because I know so many people that feel like meditation is selfish or that they can't take this time for themselves, moms especially, you know, that I don't have time. My family needs me. My job needs me. My partner needs me. But I think that meditation is the least selfish thing that you can do.
It's 1,000% the least selfish thing you can do, because if you're taking the time for you, especially for a mom, you're going to be more patient, more kind, more present in a way that your child desperately needs you to be that they can't say, right? Mm-hmm. So it allows you to show up for everything you're doing with grace and ease and attention that you wouldn't have if you didn't take the time for yourself.
Yeah, I actually have a student, and she's an executive at this fancy pants technology company in Silicon Valley, and she's a single mom. And she managed to meditate every day, twice a day for 6 months without missing one. I was like, wow, you're a superhero. But then her son was a 6 at the time, and he said, you know, she was worried about it. Is he feeling jealous? Is he feeling left out? You know, she's a single mom, so what is he doing while she's doing her meditation? And now it's to the point where if she doesn't do her second meditation, he'll say to her, Mom, have you meditated yet? Because you're getting cranky.
That's amazing.
And what I love it is because it's like once you protect it, once you make it non-negotiable for yourself, the people around you who love you and care about you usually start to protect it for you.
Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. so sweet.
Talk to me a little bit about your book, Kicking Sick. What was the, how did it come to be? Was it a download creative moment where you said, boom, I'm going to write this book? Did someone come to you? How did it come to fruition?
It's funny because I was in the middle of this health crisis and I just woke up one day and literally said to my boyfriend, I'm going to write a book. And he goes, what? And I go, I'm going to write a book. I need to write a book. I need to teach people what I've learned myself so that they can do it faster and that they can do it more efficiently. And it doesn't take them to a place of tension and stress, which, I mean, stress is literally has a chokehold on the body. And the more that you can relieve the stress, which for me is through meditation, the more your body can heal.
I can't wait to read it. I'm so inspired by your journey. Way to commit to yourself and bring the beach to you. And thank you so much for taking the time to share your story with me and with everybody listening.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. It was an honor.
Thanks so much to Emily and Amy, and thank you all for listening. We look forward to sharing more inspiring stories in our next episode. If you'd like to know more about Amy, check out her website at amykurtz.com. I hope you found her story compelling, and we look forward to sharing more inspiring stories on our next episode. If you have feedback or suggestions for guests, email us at untangle@gaiam.com, and don't forget to check out Meditation Studio by Gaiam on the App Store. See you next time.